are back. Stripe Show Podcast. I am your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. I hope you're having a great week here as we round out February. How about it? We are entering March. I'm looking at my calendar right now on Saturday. It's March 1st. It is the Florida Swing on the PGA Tour. Gosh, the Players Championship. Players Championship. The guys are going to be in my backyard here at TPC Sawgrass in a couple weeks. Just crazy. It's going to be fun. I got Dana Dahlquist coming into town. He's going to be doing an in-studio series. We're going to film that on March 9th, which will be fantastic. And we'll launch that the week of the Players. In-studio series has been really, really cool. A lot of good feedback on it. Probably something we're going to do again. I want to thank my my sponsors, Access Golf, who has been a big part of what I've been doing here at the studio, a local group here that does so much good work for so many people associated to golf. And my partners in Lab Golf, they have been outstanding, and they're about ready to do a little decorating here in the studio. Can't wait to show you that. That's going to happen hopefully here next week. Got some good stuff planned here in the studio with Lab Golf. As you know, I've been a huge fan of Lab Golf for, you know, a couple years now, and had Sam Hahn on, the creator and owner of Lab Golf. And it's just great to see them doing so well. The putters are fantastic. We've been fitting them like crazy out of the studio. This show, I got a lot of things going on in my head today. And a lot of good stuff, and I've been taking notes. So we're going to cover some ground today. Just kind of hang on, you know, put your seatbelt on. We're going to cover a lot of different topics today. I was originally going to have Erica Larkin on, great teacher, Erica Larkin, and I botched that with my schedule. Had some things come up, and I had to move some things around. So we moved Erica to next week. She's going to be joining us next week. One thing that would be awesome for those that are listening and watching on YouTube, if you want to get your swing in the show, for Show Us Your Swing, please send it. That angle is great down the line. If you don't have that, maybe a face on, and we'll get you in. Each show moving forward, we're going to be doing some Show Us Your Swings. We'll be picking them and giving you, a full lesson and trying to move you in the right direction as spring is near, right? Spring is out there. We're going to be playing golf soon across the country. The weather has really turned for the nice here in Ponte Vedra Beach. Hopefully the rain stays away, and they're going to have a great week at the Players Championship. And hopefully leading up to that, or maybe the week of, there's going to be some kind of announcement with LIV Golf. I don't have any insider information, but I think the numbers have been better for the PGA Tour as of late, as far as people watching. And so maybe there's a little momentum there, and maybe, you know, we can kind of turn this thing around a little bit for the pro game, get some people back watching the professional game. Because I can tell you right now, the amateur game is flying. Business is good. You can see behind me here, we've got a full fitting going on right now. True Spec, my partner here, just fantastic. Do fantastic work. Driver fitting. Right now, and then he's going to head over here and get a putter fitting here momentarily. So True Spec doing some great work. You check them out across the country. They are the best in what they do in the world of club fitting. I did this video of TGL. And before I get to it, I want to talk about my experience real quick. I went down to TGL, down in West Palm, which is about 3.5 hours south of me here. And I took my son down there, who likes it as well. And of course, I'm invested in indoor golf. I think indoor golf is going to be huge. I think it is pretty massive already in much of the country. Those that, you know, have winter months, there's simulators, you know, all over the place, and guys are playing in leagues and things like that. And, you know, when you get here in Florida, of course, you can play golf year round. But I can tell you, just here in, you know, the greater Jacksonville area, indoor golf is taking off. And in fact, a little secret, I'm going to be opening up another studio here soon. And that studio is going to be here in the greater Jacksonville area. So Don't tell anybody, but that's going to be coming up. Another indoor studio, which I'm super excited about. There's a company called Fourscore, which is in the San Marco area. They got 5 simulators. They're opening up a brand new facility here in Jacksonville that has 7 simulators in it. And so it's cool to see, you know, in a place like Jacksonville where you play year round, you know, indoor golf is taking off. We finished up our men's league last night. It was a lot of fun. Is it a replacement for golf outside? No, it's not. You know, golf is ultimately meant to be played outside. But you can also play it inside, and you can also train inside. You can also get a lot done inside. And so I'm really excited about the trajectory of indoor golf. And TGL right there is kind of on the forefront of it. And SoFi's investment into it. And I think it's just fabulous. And going down there and seeing that place and seeing how much technology and creativity and innovation was put into that building is spectacular. I'm telling you, it was spectacular to sit there and look one way and you've got this huge simulator, right? You got this huge sim, full swing sim with, like, you know, 6 of the, you know, launch monitors kind of lined up behind. And of course they hit into the screen and you can see it. And of course you can see it on TV, and it's presented extremely well on TV, and it's a great experience in person. You look at it there and then you look the other way and you got this green, and in person watching this green change from hole to hole is just, it's unbelievable. So I think it's great. I know they've kind of committed to 2 years. I see this thing working. I don't see it replacing outdoor golf. That's silly to say that, but I see it being its own entity. And I see the guys participating in it. I see them taking it serious. I see them having fun with it. I genuinely believe when I watch that most of these guys are having fun with this. They're bought in. You know, when else are you going to see Tiger Woods laugh like Tiger Woods did over the last couple weeks? You know, before his mother passed away, of course, which he's going to be missing this week's match. And the week before, the last week when he played, he was, you know, kind of all out of sorts. You know, so like you watch Tiger and you watch Rory, who's going to miss the playoffs, his team. You watch Justin Thomas, and I think you see a little more of the human side of them. You know, I see personalities coming out. I think Tony Finau should play in it for sure moving forward after his substitution. I think Kevin Kisner thrives in this. I think Tom Kim thrives in this. I think Wyndham Clark thrives in this. It's cool to see the personality. It's cool to see the mistakes and kind of be able to relate to that. I think they're struggling with the short game a little bit. Tiger, of course, thought it was 99 yards and it was 199 yards. And people laugh at that. And, well, how can you do that? And I can tell you right now, as a sim owner, it's easy to do. So it's fun. You know, I that's what I say. It's fun. It's competitive. The guys are buying in. It's genuine. I think there's a lot of personality coming out. And I think that's good for the game. I really, really do. So I'm excited to see where that goes. And one of the guys that I mentioned, I want to kind of lead off here a little bit. And today, as we kind of get into some of this instruction, it really is going to be kind of themed around this power fade. This drip fade, as I call it. I got a program on my website, TravisFultonGolf.com. It's called Operation Drip Fade. And when I was there in person and just watching Wyndham in this TGL atmosphere, he's really stood out to me. You know, like he's really stood out to me in that he's having fun. He's not afraid to mix it up at any time. Like Tom Kim, you can see he wants to compete. He wants to jab. He's not afraid of any of those guys out there. He puts himself out there, and I think he's having fun with it. And I think Wyndham Clark has really thrived from that aspect of it. But I'll tell you the other aspect, his game and the way that he plays. And I know that he's won a major championship now and Wyndham Clark has emerged, but this dude has popped for me. And he's got this power fade. I mean, he leans the shaft forward. The ball comes off fast, penetrating. And it just kind of falls to the right. So I did this little voiceover that I posted on my Instagram at Travis Fulton Golf. And I kind of talked about, you know, some of the things that Wyndham does that really kind of tightens up that drip phase. I'm going to play this first video for you. Check it out. Now, the first thing you have to understand, if you want to hit a little cut like Wyndham, you got to aim left. If you draw it, you can aim straight, ball will start right, draw back to the left. But if you're going to cut it, aim a little bit left first. Now, from there, here's what I love about Wyndham's swing. Check this out in transition. Watch how his left hip, it's going to stay right there under his left shoulder. See this right here? He's stacked up nicely as the weight moves to the left. I think so many of you think the downswing, the lower body is going to slide out from under the upper body. Not the case. Wyndham kind of falls left, the legs stabilize, upper body right there on top of it, and that allows him now to really turn this torso, lean the shaft forward, and get the hands to exit to the left. You know, I think when I got into the teaching business 25 years ago, I think the perception of the pivot was that the lower body kind of bumps left, right? Like you would kind of take the hip and just slide it left a little bit, and you would pull the hip left, and the pelvis would come out from underneath the upper body, and that side bend between your belt buckle and your top button on your chest would increase. I can remember literally, you know, the first couple of years of teaching, like doing body drills, and I would have the student and I would have them turn and I would hold their shoulder, upper body back, and I would pull the lower body forward. And I would really intensify this separation. Now, some people need to feel that. You know, some people need to feel the higher handicaps that come over the top and don't have much disassociation all between upper and lower. You know, them feeling a little bit of that, I think, is a good thing. And you go through, a journey of maybe where you get what we call a little too lateral, where the lower body would kind of slide a little left too much and the legs would run out a little too much from the upper body. But then as you go along and you watch professional golfers, there's certainly, I think, some of that where you get that lower body really sliding out from underneath the bump. But in today's game, I think what you see in spades is, yes, you see that weight moving left, but you see the lower body and the legs staying a little bit more underneath the upper body. And so when you look at Wyndham there, yeah, that weight is moving forward. I mean, he's definitely, you know, moving forward. But it's not just the hip independently, right? Early on, and that transition, it's almost like he's kind of falling left. And that belt buckle and the sternum stay a little bit kind of, you know, kind of realign. They're on top of each other a little bit in early transition. And then as he kind of unwinds, that pelvis just kind of gently glides a little bit out in front and ahead of the upper body. But it's not this transition where you just bump, where you just slide and you keep the upper body back. And so you look at Wyndham and you look at some other players here that we're going to get to. It looks like it's a little more stacked up, right? Like he's falling left. And then from there, he's able to turn and get the club around the corner. So I finished it up here just a little closer look at the legs. Check this out. Now let's go more up close. Look at the knees split apart. Good spacing in between the knees. That's key here. Don't pinch the knees. Get the knees apart, in particularly on the downswing. Look at this move right here, a little sit move. Those knees kind of splitting apart. Squat move. The left knee almost looks like it's kind of peeling away from the right knee. Again, there's no launch. He's not launching the lower body, sliding it out from the upper body or a bump. I hear that a lot. Falls into the left side. Left knee peels away, good spacing between the knees. That keeps the torso right there on top, and now he can just let it rip, rotate the torso, lean the shaft forward, let the club exit to the left. Power fade, Wyndham Clark has in spades. So you can see there a closer look. It's just great footage, right? I mean, when you watch TGL on ESPN, it's just phenomenal footage. You know, how many times are you getting footage like that of great players, a video from up top looking straight down, a video very, very close looking up at the golfer. I mean, you get your traditional face on and target, but then you get all this. I mean, it's just awesome. And so someone who likes to look at this stuff and, you know, over the years and working at Golf Channel for 5 years, of course, I did, you know, hundreds of those for PGAtour.com. And now to be able to kind of, you know, look at TGL and the alignment of indoor golf, it's fun. So that's kind of it's a cool look. You can see the legs there of Wyndham, those knees split. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like you're in the gym, right? And you take that band, that orange band, and you step into, and you put that orange band, around up just above your knees, and you push those knees apart, right? Remember your trainer makes you do those big steps, keeping your knees pushed apart. Yeah. Where's that burning? In the glutes. Legs are engaged. And when those knees are pushed apart like that, the legs are engaged, the glutes engaged. I think you're a little more plugged into the ground. And what Wyndham is not, is he's not like pinching the knees and really launching forward, right? And really launching the lower body lateral where the knees are pinched together. It's just the opposite. It's almost like, I like the idea, and I can't remember who explained it to me this way once. It's almost like that trail knee has a little stability, that right knee kind of has a little stability over that right foot. And then that left knee just kind of peels away. That left knee just kind of peels away from it with good spacing in the knees. And as you do that with the weight kind of falling left, and again, that sternum's right there on top of it. And a lot of things tend to kind of get in line. The other thing that tends to get better is the right elbow kind of starts to get back out in front of the body a little bit. You know, the legs don't outrace it. You see that a lot with launchers and people that are too lateral. Those legs outrace it, and the right elbow is too wide, and there's a big space in there, and then they can't carry the shaft forward. They can't lean it forward. And when you look at Wyndham, I mean, this dude's got shaft length in spades. So he's coming in, and that weight's falling left, and he's got spacing in his knees, and his upper body's right there a little bit on top of it. And then from there, he just rips that torso. And that right elbow gets out in front of the hip, and he can just lean it forward and rotate hard to the left. And so it's just kind of a cool look. You know, it's a really, I think, powerful look. I've been watching Wyndham Clark from day one. I mean, I knew his agents, his all of his coaches. And, you know, he's just one of these guys that I think everybody's been kind of waiting for. And I think he's arrived. You know, I think he's arrived. And I think this TGL, I think it's going to do a lot for his confidence. Not that he maybe needs it, because he seems like a pretty confident dude, but it just feels like he's gelling and he's playing great golf here. And look, it's indoor golf. I get it. It's not outdoor, but let's just see if it transfers, you know, let's just see if it kind of transfers over. And Wyndham Clark's got something special for us here, in 2025. If you're like most golfers, you blame yourself when you miss a short putt. So after you hold back the urge to throw your putter in the lake, don't do that. You try to fix your putting stroke. But how long does that last? 1 week, one round, one hole? There's a company called Lab Golf that doesn't think you should be blaming yourself. That's because all putters have this thing called torque, which means the putter face is trying to twist during stroke. So you grip it like a snake. What Lab Golf did is they figured out how to make putters with no torque. They call it lie angle balance. And you have to feel it to believe it. I did. The Lab Golf putter, you don't have to use a funny putting grip to try to keep the face square. You can putt it any way you want because Lab Golf putter stays perfectly square by itself. It's effortless. To see how much easier putting can be, head over to labgolf.com. Let's continue the conversation here on this technique that I've been talking about here with Wyndham and this drip fade, this power fade. You know, I think oftentimes when you think about a fade, and I just talked about the body movement there, right? And how the downswing, how that weight shift is working, the legs, the knees, and how the upper body is right there with it, and the rotation of that. It really, I think, in some ways starts earlier than that. And I'm gonna bring in Victor Hovland, who is a guy that can just absolutely peel fades. Now, I think he's tinkered with the swing too much over the years. But the one thing I want to call out here with Victor Hovland is right here at the top. Okay. And And I'm going to pause it right there. And for those of you that are listening, what we're looking at here is we're looking at the right side of the pelvis higher. And when you look at guys who I think in particularly hit these power fades, quite often you see the right side of the pelvis climbing higher. So often I think the amateur thinks the hips turn level. So when they turn, they think it's kind of more of a twist. Right now, some need to maybe feel more of a twist because they have a sway and maybe the right hip is too high. But in general, as we turn, we want to see the right side of the pelvis higher. Look at that right hip. You can see it's higher than the left. You can see that he's given up some flexion in the trail knee. You can see a little window in there between the knees. I like that. I like that glute pushing back, right side of the pelvis higher. So as he climbs, you know, that right side climbs, I think it kind of injects a little more extension up into the spine. And it's like this elongation feel that I've talked about before. And so as he climbs, well, the right side's higher. What's going to happen? Now he can fall left. Now he can kind of fall left, just like we saw with Wyndham. And as he falls left, that weight moves in the left side. He's got good spacing between the knees. His sternum stays a little more on top in early transition. And then from there, he can just rip it left. He's not taking on excessive side bend in transition. Now, let's think about the opposite of this. Let's think about the opposite of climbing, right, where the right knee loses flexion. The opposite would be, let's say, adding flexion to the right knee, which sometimes I see. Look at that drive that guy just hit behind me. Man, he bombs it. We got a former professional baseball player in here just trying to put a hole in my simulator right now. I mean, I'm talking like 315, 320 carry, just bunting it. The opposite of this right side climbing, okay, here we go, Victor, again, is he gets up to the top, right side of the pelvis climbing, losing flexion in the right, look at that, losing flexion in the right knee. The opposite would be adding flexion to the right knee. Now, what would that do? If you add flexion to the right knee, now your hips are going to want to stay more level. Your spine's going to want to stay more down in flexion. And I think that's a perception oftentimes is, I'm going to keep the right knee flexed, I'm going to turn my upper body against it, the hips stay too level, the spine kind of works down in flexion. And I think that's a pattern you got to be careful with. I'm not going to say it's wrong, but it's a pattern you got to be careful with because so often in the amateur game, I see the club head get sucked inside early. But you think about that move, right? You think about if you did take it back and you added flexion to your right knee, like what would that be equivalent to? That would be like a shot putter. Like think of a shot putter. What do? They kind of work down first. Like they go down and add flexion into their right knee, almost like they're sitting, and then they launch. And they launch and throw it. Well, I think golf's a little more the opposite of that. I don't think you want to go down first and then launch up. I think you want to feel like you climb first. I think you want to feel like you climb. The right side of the pelvis climbs. You lose some flexion in the right knee. The spine elongates up. And then from there, as you were kind of working up, now you can kind of work back down. And as you work back down and you're going to kind of fall left more versus launch. And as you fall left and you keep spacing in between the knees, all of those things that we saw with Wyndham, and you're certainly going to see with one of the best iron players in the game in Victor Hovland. I think what's also interesting is what do you notice with a lot of faders of the ball? What do you notice with their lead wrist? Well, their lead wrist is usually flat to maybe slightly flexed, and the club face is usually a little bit close. Not usually, but oftentimes. That club face... In hitting drip fades, power fades at the top, left wrist, lead wrist, closer to flexion, club face, closer to being closed. Look at this picture here I'm going to bring in. Here's three players at the top. Victor, again, you can see. And it's kind of interesting. That's old Victor. I think old Victor had the club more down the line versus across the line. I think that's one of the things Victor's trying to maybe get back to is to be less across the line at the top. And I think as he gets a little more neutral at the top, he probably feels a bit more laid off. I think he's probably able to get back and hit that squeeze fade more. But look at John Rahm. What's his left wrist? His left wrist is bowed. Where's the club shaft? Laid off. Colin Morikawa. He'll work it both ways. I mean, Colin... It's interesting with Colin, like in college, Colin drew it. Then when he turned pro, he started fading it. But I think Colin's more of a true little squeeze cut kind of guy. What's his left wrist? Flexed. club face pretty square, maybe slightly closed. And look at Rory. Rory, you know, he's a little more of a drawer, although I think he's went to the fade more this year. And I think he's been able to get to the fade more because he's got the club pointing more left at the top. So you start looking at some of the things that maybe kind of play out in the professional game. And, you know, look, there's it's not linear. It's never like, hey, you every time someone hits a power fade, here's what you see. But I do think some of the commonalities and some of the things that are apparent more times than not is that club face is square to slightly closed at the top. So often the left wrist is closer to flexion at the top. And I think in general, you see the club pointing a bit more left at the top, right? I mean, that's kind of what you see that kind of sets the stage so often for hitting a fade. And then, you know, you look at guys that maybe want to draw it or are able to draw it a little bit more. You'll see, you can see a similar left wrist, but you'll certainly see more extension in the left wrist, like a Scottie Scheffler and a Justin Thomas there, although Scheffler works it both ways. You'll maybe see the club face square and even at times maybe a shade open. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, when you start looking at wrist angles and you start looking at face angle and you start looking at which way the shaft is pointing at the top, you start looking at how, you know, these guys use the pelvis, climb, and then sit and turn. You know, these are some of the things I think to think about as maybe you're thinking about your game. And if you're someone who maybe is on the, you know, kind of on the aspect of hitting too many draws or hooks, too many blocks to the right, too many hooks. And then some of you listening are like, well, geez, I'm a slicer. You know, I'd like to turn it to a power fade, but I'm a slicer right now. Well, you know, if you're a slicer, then you need probably more draw bias components, right? You probably need to learn how to hit a draw. But if you're someone who's like, hey, you know, I hit it pretty straight, and maybe or someone who's, you know, hitting too many hooks, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing for you to look about. I do think that in today's game, this lead wrist condition of getting closer to flexion, it does seem to be a little bit more apparent with this generation coming out. It's certainly not everybody, but I do think getting the lead wrist closer to flexion earlier in the swing, I think is a trend that is out there. And I think in general, I think it's a good trend for most amateurs to probably adopt. And so, you know, you start looking at this drip fade, and these are some of the things that certainly come to mind. I'm gonna go back to this Victor again one more time. Look at this right here, and just kind of talking through this here as he gets up to the top, and we kind of bring this full circle now. Let me get it back to the beginning here. There we go. So Victor going up to the top, right side of the pelvis climbing. He's losing a little flexion in the right knee. The spine's extending, and there's that lead wrist. I mean, let me tell you something. But Victor, that wrist condition right there is something. I mean, he is, I think, in flexion right there. That club face is closed. Dustin Johnson, right? Another great fader of the ball. Brooks Koepka, another great fader of the ball. What's their left wrist condition? What's their club face position? Same stuff. And so there he is. All right. Now he can fall left, can keep the legs a little bit underneath him as he kind of moves pressure into the lead foot. The other thing you'll see with great faders of the ball who lean the shaft forward and really squeeze it, really compress it, is you'll see that lead shoulder kind of stay down in transition. That lead shoulder stay down in transition as they kind of fall left. It doesn't pop up early. I always think of Matthew Wolf where he does that little preset, you know, he's out of dress and he kind of looks down behind him, does that gyration before he hits it. I'll use that quite often with players when we get to a point where, hey, we're trying to cover it better. We're trying to take out some early side bend and transition. We're trying to get that left shoulder lower. I'll use that where he kind of looks down behind him and they get that sensation of the head swiveling and the left shoulder working more down and back versus up. not taking on that early transition. So I think that's a that's something you really see. And of course, Victor right there is just such a great spot. And even in here's the thing, guys, even these power fades, right? Like, look at the shaft. It's pitched back. The shaft shallows. Victor Hovland might be one of the biggest shallowers of the club shaft in the game today. In fact, he is. So fading it, the shaft still pitches back. I think oftentimes amateurs will come in here and they'll think, well, I'm going to fade it. But that means steeper. Maybe, right? Maybe. But they think steeper and they start pulling down on, and they'll kind of pull down on the left arm. And oftentimes when they pull down, the arm kind of stays behind them and the shaft pitches vertical in transition. I'd rather have you stay away from that, because if that gets trapped in behind you, you're going to hit some hooks a la Rory McIlroy. Lay the shaft off more. Now he can kind of get his arms more out in front of him. That's what you're seeing here with Vic. The shaft's pitching back, but his hands are kind of working more back out in front of his chest. And so much of that is because of what's happening in that lower body. He's able to get a little more on top of it. He's able to get the chest more open. And that's a really good way to get that, the hand path to arc a little bit more back out in front of the body. Watch his hands. He kind of arcs back out in front of the chest a little bit with the shaft pitching back. The face, of course, is prepared, and then he just keeps turning left. So, you know, that's something that you see with Wyndham. That's something you see with Victor. And it's just it just kind of works into this power fade. And I think the power, okay, let's talk about this for a second. The power is, you know, obviously the pivot and in the way that he's engaging the ground with his glutes and using his legs and the sequence from his lower body up to his torso and then back out to the arms and the club head. So there's power there, but I think the real power is in that the face is not open. That face is, as I said, many times square to slightly closed, or most of the time square to slightly closed. And so they take this club face that's not open, and they're able to bring it down. They're able to pitch the shaft back, bring it down, and lean the shaft forward. And when you lean the shaft forward with a strong face, you're de-lofting that face. That's powerful, okay? A weak fade so often is a wipe where, you know, players are trying to hold on to that face, and they try to fade it by keeping the face open. And often they wipe it, and that's a weak fade. And if you're doing that from a place of a weaker grip and a face that's more open at the top, you know, you're just hitting these big high spinners. So this power fade, taking the strong face and leaning the shaft forward, is power, right? It's power. That's powerful. The face is strong. It's de-lofted. The face is looking left. So the ball starts there, and then the path, it fades because the path is left of that, right? And how does the path get left of that? Well, that's, you know, that's what I've just been talking about here, and how you do that in utilizing the way that pelvis works going back, the way that downswing works with the weight shift into the torso rotating, and then from there, what you see great faders of the ball, power fade, you see this hand, you see these hands, watch this now. You see these hands exit left. Look at that. Look at the club shaft exit and release under the lead shoulder. He's not hanging on, folks. He's not hanging on. He's releasing it. It's released under the left shoulder. And so there's your path working to the left as a function of how that body is working and really covering the golf ball. One of my favorite drills is this one here. Check this out. This is a player. This is young Wyndham here. And look at the old PXG. So his caddy's got this. He's holding this club out, and he's got the head cover just above his left hand. So he's on the target side, and the head cover is just above his left hand. And what Wyndham's probably feeling here is he's probably feeling that his hands return low and exit left, right? And that's one of the things that I think, you know, maybe advantages per se in hitting these power fades is you can keep that handle returning pretty low and exiting left. you don't want to see that high handle here. Right. So watch here as he kind of, there you go. He just feels that handle working down and back around to the left versus maybe a high handle. And if you start getting that high handle and you get to this point, oftentimes when you see the high handle, they really struggle driving. Yeah, high handle makes the face look too far to the right. And then you start flipping it and now you got hooks. And so often that high handle at impact is because of that player pulling down and getting steep in early transition. Right. So that bump to the left and pulling down, we get steep in transition and then we try to kick it out late and we get the high handle. And that's a tough pattern. You know, that's a tough pattern. I'm not saying you can't fade it from there. I'm not saying you can't draw from there. I'm just saying that's a harder pattern. But some of these components that I've shared with you today, with a Wyndham Clark, with a Victor Hovland, in the way that they load it up in the backswing and use their legs and inject that up to the spine. With some extension, the way that they prepare those wrist angles and get the face in a strong position. And then from there, the way they kind of fall into that lead side and kind of sit down a little bit, good spacing between the knees, left shoulders working down and back. Now the shaft's pitching back behind them where now they can really turn left. And all these things kind of continue to accumulate into this ability to really open up at impact and manage the height of the handle and get that to exit back to the left. Good stuff. Operation Drip Fade, if you're interested, I lay it out. 10 videos, $19.99. I mean, it's just a great way to kind of follow along. It's on TravisFultonGolf.com. Fun stuff today. You know, I hope you enjoy that. And I've got a few other notes here. And you know, I always kind of write these questions down as, you know, people come into the studio and they ask good questions on, you know, DMs and emails and things like that from the pod. And one of them here that I've made a note of, and I'll finish with this, is, you know, the question is, like, when you watch the best players, they'll hit more of they'll go to the draw more with the irons. But then when they get to the driver, they fade it, right? And so I think the answer to that, when you see that, and there's a lot of players that do that, right? They'll stay away from the draw with the driver. They can hit it, obviously, but they'll kind of elect to stay with the fade with the driver, and then just, you know, gravitate maybe to the slight draw with the irons, or can obviously hit the fade with the irons too. But when you analyze that, the reason that is with an iron, of course, you're hitting down on it, right? So like for a 7-iron, let's say you're hitting, you know, 4 to 5 degrees down on it. On average, I think PGA Tour is like 4.3 or something. LPGA Tour is a little bit under that. But when you hit down, it builds in the path is moving to the right, okay? With a 7-iron, it's not a straight 1-to-1 ratio. With a driver, it is closer to 1-to-1 because the driver sits more on a 45-degree angle where an iron is a bit more upright. So with an iron, if you hit down, it's influencing the path to the right. Let's just call it, for every degree down, it's 0.75 to the right. So if I hit 4 degrees down, at 4 times 0.75 is 3 degrees to the right. And so just this natural swing for these guys and women just hitting down on it is going to encourage the path to work to the right. And the face, of course, will be a little closed to that, and that you can just hit a nice push draw aiming right at your target. You can just aim right at your target, 3 or 4 degrees hitting down on it, built in nice push draw. Now, if you want to take that draw out, then you've got to work the swing direction more to the left, right? And that's what you see with these faders, is they'll start swinging, you know, a little bit more to the left. And their swing direction is left rather than maybe at the target, and certainly not to the right of the target. So this built-in attack angle, it's easier to draw. Now you go to the driver, well, you don't hit 3 or 4 degrees down. You know, you're all of a sudden you're hitting one up. And when you hit up on it, well, it builds in the path now to the left for a right-handed player. So if I hit 1 degree up, now I've got a built-in path 1 degree to the left. So, you know, it feels like the same swing, And with a driver, it's, you know, it's 1 or 2 degrees up, which means the path is slightly left. We'll just let it fade. And then the same swing, natural swing with the iron, it's, well, it's 3 to 4 degrees down. The natural built-in path to the right, well, we'll just hit the draw. So, you know, it's kind of trying to keep it simple, you know, and it feels like the same swing, but because of the science, the ball does something a little bit differently, and it does something differently because of the attack angle, you know, and that's what I think, you know, the attack angle has been, and understanding the attack angle via launch monitors, and particularly TrackMan, I can remember that when understanding what really goes into the path, and the attack angle is one part of that equation. The swing direction is another big part of that equation. And understanding those two things gives you your true path. And then it starts to make sense why irons versus the driver are a little bit different. So hopefully that makes sense. But I think that's it's a valid discussion. When we're talking about drip fade, we're talking about fades, we're talking about power fades. And that's what Wyndham does. So check it out. That thought that, it's gotten a good response, that breakdown of Wyndham. And I'm really fascinated to watch him here in 2025. All right, that's enough for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you're off to a great start this week. It's March 1, folks, coming up. Spring is here. If you need some help, let me know. Online lessons. I'm taking some more people in. You can go to my website, TravisWiltonGolf.com. Send me a note if you got some questions. But I'm going to take a few more people in, work with them online. You send me your videos, full game plan or full analysis and game plan, get you moving in the right direction. Erica Larkin's back next week. Then we've got Dana Dahlquist in the house in studio series. So we've got some great stuff coming at you in March. See you next time.